Now, Job chapter number 38, I will take a text from the last of the chapter. And I'm not promising you that I will not take another text from the chapter, but I do want to go to the last of the chapter, in fact, the last words in the chapter. The Bible says, they wonder for lack of meat. Verse number 41, who provideth for the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wonder for a lack of meat. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the word of God, and I pray that you'll help us. I pray that you'll make good application of the word of God to our hearts, our lives. I pray that you'll give us what we need from the word of God this morning. Thank for all of those that are here. Please help all of those that could not be here, giving them whatever grace that they need. And God, if it be your will, please send them some spiritual help, some special spiritual help. As a result of them not being able to be here, I pray that you'll give them what they need. And I pray that you'll help those of us that are here so that we can receive what we need from the Word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, amen. Now, once again, my text, they wonder for lack of meat. Earlier I preached on the ruler of the day. Now, the Lord, of course, created the heavens and the earth, and the creation of the heaven and the earth is a wonderful thing. Then also, we might consider the control of the heaven and earth, and there are so many things in this chapter that deal with God's control of the heavens and the earth. And thank the Lord, He is in control. Then we might also consider the care of the heavens and the earth, and God is taking care of things. Now we might think about the fact that there are so many creatures upon the face of this earth, and since creation, there have been creatures that have continued on with all the different things that have happened in the world, and still there are so many creatures upon the face of this earth, from something as small as a little parasite, all the way to something as great as a whale. God has sustained, God has maintained His creation. And in fact, when you look out at this world, you see all the creation that God has maintained, that God has cared for over the years, sending the rain, sending whatever is needed so that it can be maintained. All of those are testimonies to the grace and the power of God. God has done so much, and we should look out at this world, and there should be a wonder that our God is so great to do such things. In fact, notice, if you will, beginning with verse number, let me back up to verse number 39, where the Bible says, "Wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lions, when they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait? Who provideth for the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wonder for lack of meat." Notice, if you will, let's go back to verse number 25 of the same chapter. There the Bible says, "Who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness where there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth." Now, of course, God takes care of the earth. God takes care even of the uninhabitable places in the earth. God has had it all in His care. And so thank the Lord that we have a God that created, a God that controls, and a God that cares for the things of this earth. I want to go back to this idea in verse number 41, where the Bible talks about those ravens. They wonder for lack of meat. They wonder for lack of meat. I want you to consider this, that dissatisfaction can be a mighty motivator. Dissatisfaction can be a driver of both beast and fowl and men. If men are dissatisfied, then they may start to search for something to satisfy them. Now, of course, there can be the wrong kind of dissatisfaction. There can be an unholy discontentment. We need to be careful that we don't condone an unholy discontentment. But there can also be the stirring of God where God causes the right kind of dissatisfaction within an individual. And so, for instance, in my case, before I got saved, I didn't understand what all was going on, but God was stirring in my heart and working in my heart, and God caused me to have a dissatisfaction. I was in high school, I started a job, I liked the job, and was there for a while, and God started to stir my heart, and finally I came to the point, as much as I liked the job, I left the job, which might have seemed odd to the boss man. And I went to work on my grandfather's farm. That might have seemed odd to him because at one point I tried to borrow money from my grandfather to buy into the business. And yet God was so stirring my heart, and I did not understand what was going on. But God was working with me. God was preparing me to come to the point of salvation. And so that kind of dissatisfaction is good. Thank the Lord for every sinner that's not been satisfied with his state. Thank God every time that He stirred the heart of a sinner so he begins to search and God leads him to the way of salvation. But then after I got saved, there was also some dissatisfaction along the way. God put in me some desires, in fact, desires that have helped to mold my life. When I got saved, God put in me a hunger for the Word of God. God put in me a love for the church. God put in me a desire to preach. God also put within me a desire to feed the flock. And so God began to work in my heart, stir my heart. And so shortly after I got saved, and of course I lived in this county, I started at PCC. I did not know much about schools, but I wanted to go somewhere to learn more about the Word of God. I'd been in the Southern Baptist, and I wanted to go somewhere to learn more about the Word of God. And so that was local, and I ended up going there. And so after I was there for a while, by the way, I did not go there for a degree. I went there to learn more about the Word of God. In fact, I think it'd be in evidence. My desire was not to get a degree. I left there before the end of the 4 years. And I went to a little seminary. There's an old fella that was teaching in a seminary, a local seminary. And I went there for a while. And he offered that I could get credit. I was taking minor profits, I think it was. And he offered that I could get credit if I would take the test and pay $10. Well, credit just didn't mean, who cares about credit? I want to learn more about the Word of God. Now, if I hadn't a chance to go back, I may have taken the credit. But back then, that wasn't what I was after, was a diploma. I wanted to learn more about the Word of God. And so after a while, I'd left both of those places. I left the Southern Baptist. I began to learn some about the convention, things in the convention. I left the Southern Baptist. And so I was in a couple of independent Baptist churches, dry independent Baptist churches, and I was hungry. And so I finally ended up going to Tabernacle. And thank the Lord, God fed me there. God gave me, God fed me from the Word of God. Dr. Seidler was used to feed me. If I ever speak there sometime in the future, and there's some kind of a college get-together, I think I may present the fact that I believe the church really probably helped me more than the college did. I don't know that I would have loaded up and moved that distance to go to a church, but I went to the college and ended up in the church, and I believe the church was a great help to me. And so, as a result of having a desire to learn more about the Word of God, ended up going there, ended up, after a while, I moved back here, and looking for a church, looked around for a church, didn't feel I was comfortable in the churches around here, and finding up filling in here, and finding up we started Lighthouse Baptist Church. But there was a desire in my heart to learn the Word of God, I had a love for the church. I had a desire to preach the Word of God. I had a desire to feed the flock. God gave me those desires in my heart, and I believe that God worked in a variety of ways to bring me up to a point that I would be here now at this time. Now, dissatisfaction can be a mighty motivator of men. I was thinking about before I went to Tabernacle, I believe it was before I went to Tabernacle, I'd left one church, and there's a pastor came to talk to me. Pastor and somebody else came, visited me, and that's fine. And basically, I think they were trying to invite me to go to their church. And honestly, I think I took it somewhat wrongly back then. I don't know if I said anything rude to them, but in my heart, I intended on being in church. And I know some people, you may need to visit them and encourage them to be in church. I had it in my heart. I need to be in church. And so you didn't have to come visit me about being in church. I'd go visit you. I'd go visit your church and find out about it. Is that a church for me? But I didn't have to be visited to be kept in church. God put it in my heart to have a love for the church. I realized I needed to be in church. I longed to be in a good church. Now, dissatisfaction can be a mighty motivating factor. As far as the Word of God is concerned, God put in me a desire, a hunger for the Word of God. In the book of 1 John, chapter number 2, and verses 3 through 5, the Bible says, "And hereby do we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him, but whoso keepeth His word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him." I want you to notice the repetition of the word keep, or actually it's keep and then keepeth and keepeth. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, "And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him." 1 John 5, 2 and 3, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." This idea of keeping the commandments of God. We might think about obeying the commandments of God. And certainly it is right for us to obey the commandments. But that's not the word that the Bible used there. The Bible used the word keep. You might think about someone having in their possession the Word of God and it being viewed by them as a treasure, as something that needs to be held on to. We might consider to retain in one's possession, to restrain from departure, to take custodianship over, to care for, to nourish, to tend. The word keep can be used in a variety of ways. For instance, we may think about the keeper of a prison. We might think about the keeper of a vineyard. We might think about the keeper of sheep. The word keep can be used in different ways. But we might think about the keeping of, the restraining of, the not allowing to escape. And of course, you and I should have such a desire for the Word of God. We want to keep the Word of God. We want to have the Word of God in our possession and hold the Word of God in our possession, in our hearts. Now, God put in me a desire for the Word of God, a hunger for the Word of God. A contrast to that could be someone that is a forgetful hearer. Somebody that the Word of God is preached and they very quickly, because they have very little concern for it, they forget it. We might also consider, for instance, a wayside hearer. We might consider like the ground on the wayside that's hard and the seed just sits on the surface. You and I are not to be like that. You and I are to keep the Word of God. We are to treasure the Word of God. We are to hold to the Word of God. And so, first of all, the Word of God. And then also the church. God put in me a love for the church. I think it's 18 out of 27 books in the Bible in the New Testament mention or use the word church or churches. And as far as the other books are concerned, it doesn't mean that they don't deal with the church. Three of the Gospels do not use either one of the words, church or churches. But of course, all of them tell about the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for the church. Jesus Christ gave Himself for the church. And certainly Jesus Christ considered the church to be precious. God put in me a love for the church. And down through the years, I've had different situations. And of course, sometimes people can get hurt in church, and there'll be some hard situations in church. Yet still, God put in me a love for the church. 2 Timothy doesn't use the word church or churches, but it is addressed to a bishop of a church. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. A love for the Word of God, a love for the church. And as I read the Word of God, and as I went to church, my heart was stirred for the preaching of the Word of God. Now, these basic desires, spiritual things, have in so many ways molded my life. Now, as far as the Word of God is concerned, it is good for us to go to the church, and it's not just at the church, but to go to the church to receive from the Word of God. As far as the church is concerned, we might consider Isaac. In his day, there were the wells that I believe it was his father's servants had dug, and they'd been stopped up by the Philistines. Well, he dug another well, but there was strife over that well. And I think he may have dug another well and another well. Now, Isaac had herds and flocks. And Isaac had people in his household. And it was important that Isaac have water. And so there was that need. There was that drive. We need to get water. We need to get water. You need the Word of God. And the church is to be a place that exalts the Word of God. The church is to be a place where the Word of God is preached and taught. And so the church is a place that you should go to receive from the Word of God. It's not the only place you can get it. But still, the church is a place that you're to go that God has set aside as a special place to receive from the Word of God. Imagine in that day having the attitude, either find a well or dig a water, we need water. As far as church is concerned, I believe it is good to find a church. Find a good local church. Find a church. Find a church or start a church. But get in a good church. It is so important for the believer to be in a good church. There's so much teaching in the Word of God about the church. The very fact that Christ died for the church and gave Himself for it tells us of the importance of the church. Now, sometimes people may go to the church to receive from the Word of God, and yet they may find that there's not what they need there. I'll go back to my text. They wander for lack of meat. Now, the Bible speaks there about the ravens. The ravens were unclean birds. And yet, when God saved me, He changed me. But still, as a saved person, God put in me a desire. My desires were different than they were before I got saved. But after I got saved, God put a desire in me for the learning of the Word of God. I needed to be where I could learn the Word of God. Now, sometimes a person is not receiving what he needs in church, then he may wander for lack of meat. He may wander, first of all, because he's not being fed. He may wander because the shepherd of the flock is feasting himself and not feeding the flock. The Scripture says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 34, verses 2 and 3, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. Sometimes there's a shepherd. He's doing quite well himself. He's feasting himself, but he's not feeding the flock of God. In fact, I believe there are many churches where the people are not being fed like they ought to be fed. Jesus Christ told Peter, Feed my sheep. Did Peter love Jesus? Jesus said, Feed my sheep. I believe if a pastor does not feed the sheep, he does not love Jesus the way he should. Now, I know pastors can differ a great deal, but I believe one of the primary purposes of having a pastor is for the feeding of the flock. And yet you may find there's a lot of men, they are feasting themselves. They are feeding their own pride. They're feeding their own pocketbook. They are feeding their own pleasures. But they are not feeding the flock of God. And so in a case like that, a man may have a reason to wonder for lack of meat. Then, in Ezekiel 34, verse 5, the Bible says, And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. Ezekiel chapter number 34, verse number 6, My sheep wander through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse number 8, The shepherds feed themselves and feed not the flock. There is to be the feeding of the flock. It is so important for the flock to be fed. The fleecing, and I know in our day you may hear this in a negative sense, the fleecing of the sheep is not necessarily wrong. In this scripture that talks about these shepherds, if they had been fleecing the sheep properly and in proper time, there would have been nothing wrong with that. I'm just talking about an offering and taking up an offering, a thank God for freedom offering. There's nothing wrong with that kind of thing. But now, those shepherds were actually killing the sheep. In the picture that is given there, they were actually killing the sheep. And sometimes you may have men that are taking from the sheep, actually hurting the sheep instead of helping the sheep and feeding them spiritually. Then, a shepherd may sometimes be treading down good pasture and muddying good waters. In Ezekiel 34, verses 18 and 19, the Bible says, Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. As for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Imagine someone saying, Well, I'll go out to the deeper waters. But on the way out to the deeper waters, they're muddying all of the waters. Imagine someone saying, I'll go out to the better pasture. But then in doing so, they're actually treading down the good pasture that the sheep could eat. Sometimes, under the guise of scholarship, and a person going for the deeper things of God, he may actually be hurting the people of God. He may actually be presenting the Word of God in such a way to undermine people's faith in the Word of God. I think this is not a very unusual thing. For people to speak as though that they know so much about the Word of God that when they present the Word of God, they present it in such a way, or supposedly present it in such a way, that the common man in the pew may come to the point where he feels as though, well, I can't understand the Word of God. I don't know the Greek. I don't know the Hebrew. And I don't know all those things he talks about, so I cannot understand the Word of God. And the shepherd needs to be careful that he's not muddying the waters as he is supposedly going out to the deeper waters and treading down the grass as he's supposedly going out to the better grass. I can still get a blessing from John 3:16. I can still get a blessing for the simple, the shallow, as some might think, shallow things in the Word of God. And thank the Lord for the deeper things, but still we need to be careful that we don't present the deeper things in such a way that we hurt the people. And sometimes a person may be in a group where a man talks as though, and the way he presents his message is as though he's going for the deep things, and a person sitting there in the crowd starving to death, so to speak, because he's not getting what he needs from the Word of God. There can be a reason, in fact, there can be a good reason sometimes to wander from a church because of a lack of meat. Now, sometimes a person may not like the taste of the Word of God, even if it is properly presented. They may not like the taste of it. Let me say this. You might say, well, I'm not getting what I need. What are you feeding on the rest of the week? Years ago, and I've told this in the past, but I worked with a man, my boss, and it was a common thing for me to go over to his house and have some coffee and then go on to work with him. Well, I went over to his place and I tasted the coffee, and that coffee tasted bad. I'm not a very particular. I'm not one of these got to have these special coffees. But anyway, that coffee did not taste good. And so it may have been the next day I went back, tasted the coffee, and that coffee did not taste good. And I said something to his wife, but apparently what was going on was I was eating peppermint on the way. It was fouling up my taste, and so when I tasted the coffee did not taste good. What are you feeding on the rest of the week? If you say, I'm not getting what I need from the Word of God, well, what are you feeding on the rest of the week? Because what you're feeding on the rest of the week can affect your tastes for the Word of God. Then let me say this as well. Sometimes it can be a good thing to leave a church. To leave a church because you're not receiving the meat that you need. I believe it is very important for there to be the feeding of the flock. And if the flock is not being fed, then I believe the flock can have a good reason to leave the fold. And so there needs to be that proper feeding of the flock. Let me go run through a few things. Number one, there can be a problem sometimes because a shepherd gives a constant diet of milk to a people that need meat. In the independent Baptist circles, I think in some cases, there has been an emphasis placed on soul winning. And sometimes a person may say, the greatest thing that you can do is to win souls. That is a false philosophy. The greatest thing that you can do is to please God. The greatest thing that you can do is obey God. Now, within that obedience, within doing the will of God, certainly the Lord does teach soul winning. That is a part of a holy life. And so, that is part of what we are supposed to be doing. But I think because of this idea of putting soul winning above everything else, then sometimes people may come to church and every Sunday morning they get a soul-winning message, and sometimes they may get one on Sunday evening, and they may end up with a great deal of the teaching and the preaching time dealing with soul-winning, giving gospel messages, when actually the people need a piece of meat now and then. Now, I think there can be a danger of going so far that way, and I can enjoy receiving a gospel message. I can enjoy preaching a gospel message. But still, The flock needs to be fed more than just the milk. They need some meat along the way. And then, sometimes a pastor may just simply not be right with God himself and not really be able to give what he needs to give from the Word of God. Let me ask you this question. Why don't more people wander from where they're attending church? I think for me, I may wonder why more people don't leave some of the churches. I don't see how they're getting what they need. And so I might wonder, why aren't they going somewhere else to get what they need? Well, I think one of the reasons is sometimes people are filling up on something. It's not very nourishing, but they're filling up on something. It may be that sometimes people are, they're enjoying fellowship. And they like going to where they go to church because of the fellowship. They may be starving for spiritual food, and yet they may like the fellowship where they're going. And so as a result of that, sometimes a person may continue on. Sometimes a person may stay where he is because he's comfortable where he is. One of the most comfortable places to be as far as church attendance is when you're one of the best people in the church. If you're in a situation where you can teach other people in the church and your standards are higher than other people in the church and so on, that could be one of the most comfortable places to be. It can be uncomfortable when you go somewhere and you're challenged to do more, to draw closer, to go to higher ground. It can be uncomfortable when you're in a church where you're challenged to do better than what you're doing. But I think some people would rather stay where they're comfortable rather than go where they need to go. They'd rather go where they get what they want rather than going where they get what they need from the Word of God. And then, sometimes people may be in a church because they are enjoying a place of leadership. I was in the Southern Baptist, and of course, I might could call out a few names of Southern Baptist pastors that were presidents of the Southern Baptist Convention. And if you were to take their messages, some of their messages, you might listen to some of their messages and say, that's some good preaching. And yet you may wonder, why did they not come out of the convention? With all the corruption of the convention, why didn't they come out? Well, I think sometimes people, they are enjoying a place of leadership. And sometimes it may be they've got this idea that we're going to turn it around. Well, with the convention, it's still not turned around. And there's been some big names in there. Some men that you might have thought were rather conservative. It is still not turned around. And sometimes a person may be in a church that's wrong. And yet he may have this idea that, well, we're going to turn this thing around. Let me say this. If a man goes to a church and the pastor doesn't stand for good and holy things, if a man says, I'll go in there and I'll turn that church around, if the pastor's not going to preach it, if an evangelist or traveling preacher goes to a church and he preaches a message against sin in the church, if the pastor doesn't preach it, there's a fairly good chance the church is not going to turn in the right direction. There needs to be where believers go, where God calls them to go. Wherever it is, God calls them to go. If there is a dissatisfaction because of a lack of meat, and God, they leave through conviction, and they go somewhere else because of a conviction that they have, well, thank God for that. In fact, I think I'm just going to close with this idea. You may have heard it over and over again in a desire to encourage people to go to church. Folks may say, go to the church of your choice. No, you go to the church of God's choice. Whatever God chooses for you, that's where you go. Sometimes people may wonder because of a lack of meat. They may be looking for something else because they are still hungry. Even after being in the services, they're still hungry. They want something else. Well, I believe it is good for a church to be feeding the people. If you will, please stand.